Okay. Are you ready to study the Word today? Okay, good. You sound warmed up. I'm glad. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. Genesis is the very first book in the New Testament. The Old Testament. Lord have mercy. Old Testament. And hey, we're entering into the Thanksgiving season. And this is one of my most favorite times of the year, although I will have to admit it's come so fast and there's been so many distractions among us. It's taken me a while to rev up my Thanksgiving motor, you know, my holiday spirit, but we're getting there. Thanksgiving is a time for me just to ponder and reflect. And, you know, I reflect on family, I reflect on God's blessing and His provision. And then it's a time where we're just a little more, aware of our surroundings maybe, and we project gratitude a little more. I don't know. Maybe you do. I know I do. I'm just a little bit more aware of my surroundings. But there may be some of you here today that you're struggling finding thankfulness and gratitude in your heart. Now, the holidays aren't always a holiday for everybody. That's the reality of the world we live in. Perhaps, maybe I was thinking through, some of the way I might feel sometimes, and I know maybe you do too, but that maybe that you felt like that you've had to do without for a long time. Maybe through, you've had to do without financially for a long time. Or you've had to do with, you know, you've struggled emotionally for a long time. Maybe there's been a relationship that's been broken for a long time. Maybe spiritually there's been something lacking for a long time. And you've just kind of been in the wilderness and I just don't feel gratitude or thankfulness. I just don't feel like my needs are being met, maybe. I want to tell you something today. There is a name of God that meets this need right here. And the name of God that I want to share with you today is one you're familiar with, and it is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh simply means God will provide. Always. Trish told me she renamed my message that says God will always provide. And that's true. You can rename any of my messages, you can rename them what you want to. Doesn't matter to me. God will always provide. Yes. It's also translated, God is my provider. Or in Trish's case, God is always my provider. Did you know that this name appeared first in Genesis chapter 22, this name of God, particular name, in Genesis chapter 22, when God tested Abraham and asked him to sacrifice his son Isaac. Abraham was the first one who mentioned this name of God. As they were walking up the mountain, you know the story, Isaac began to ask questions. He's like, hey, yo, where are we going? Where are we going, Dad? Where's the sheep for the burnt offering, Dad? He asked that specific question. Where is it? In Genesis 22:8, Abraham said to him, for the very first time, he said, God will provide. He told Isaac, God will provide. And they were walking up. And when the Lord provided the ram in verse 14, if you read through that story, when he provided the ram, Abraham named the place after it was all over and God provided. He named the place Yahweh Jireh. The Lord provides. Now, there's something that you might not know about the Hebrew word provide. The word Jireh, if you look into it, literally means, it's the same word they use to say to see. And here's what that means. It means that God just doesn't provide randomly. He doesn't blindly provide for you. What it means is, and in the context of this word, it means that He intently sees And he provides out of what he sees regarding his best interest for his glory. Isn't that rich? Jehovah Jireh means he's the God who sees and provides. He provides for what he sees, but he doesn't do it for you. He does it for him. God provides for his glory and for his needs. Here's what I want you to know. God is a God who sees. We've talked about this before. God sees. He sees where you are. He sees what you've gone through. He sees what you think is lacking in your life. God sees you. He sees what you do. And since he is the source of everything, God is the source, whatever he lays his eyes on will bring him glory. He'll make sure of that. The good, the bad, and the ugly. God will use anything to bring himself glory. God will not share his glory with another. And there is nothing on planet Earth that can take away from his glory. Although it might try. Here, I want to show you. Isaiah 46:9-10 says this. I am God. And this isn't up there. It is up there. Praise God, it's up there. It says, I am God and there is no other. There is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. This is God talking here, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand. And then he says this, I will accomplish my purpose. And God's purpose, by the way, is for himself to be glorified. Psalm 135:6 says this, the Lord does whatever he pleases him throughout all heavens and earth and on the seas and in their depth. What he sees, what God sees, and he sees what? He sees everything. What God sees, he will naturally make a way for. And God sees you, therefore he is your provider. Whether you know that or not. See. Because here's why I know that. Because that's who he is. That is his name. He is Jehovah Jireh. He sees, he provides, no matter where we see it or not, because that's who he is. He can't do anything else but provide. The truth is, he sees, and we don't always see, do we? And what God defines as provision is not always what we define as provision. God knows where to look and we don't. God knows where to get to his purpose and we don't always. Do you want to know how I know that? Oh, good. There's one of you that do. I skipped. Abraham, this is what Abraham, he said before he went up the mountain, he even without saying God will provide, he knew that God will provide. And then it's like, how do I know that? Yes. That's like that. When Abraham was starting up to the mountain with Isaac, follow me, he told his servants, he said, stay right here. We, talking about him and my son, will be right back. Okay, so God had told him to go up the mountain, sacrifice his son Isaac. He told his servants, he said, stay right here. We're going to be right back. See, Abraham knew in his knower that God was going to provide for him. And when Isaac pressed him on it, Abraham said, God will provide. God sees us going up the mountain. He sees us, son, therefore he will provide. And when God provided, mind you, it wasn't early. It probably wasn't even when Abraham preferred it. I mean, just put yourself in Abraham's shoes. I'm sure Abraham's head was on a swivel. You ever thought about that? Abraham's going up the mountain. God said, I'm going to go and sacrifice your son. Abraham knows he's going to provide. He's like, we're going to be right back, but here they go. And if I were Abraham, I'd just be looking around and I'd be walking real slow. When he started to build the altar, I bet he's just looking around. God's going to provide. He said he's going to provide somehow. Then he arranged the wood on it. God, you're going to provide. And certainly when he tied his son up on the altar. And I imagine Isaac probably wasn't quiet about that. You got to know, probably in Abraham's humanity, he was sweating it a little. Wouldn't you? Because he knew that God would provide, but God hadn't showed up yet. And here he was. He's all the way. He was there. I mean, he was there. And then he even took the knife to kill his son. Scripture says he took the knife to kill his son. And Scripture says at that moment, a specific moment, that was the God moment. That was the midnight hour for Abraham. You remember me talking about that? The midnight hour? That was the midnight hour for Abraham. It wasn't early. It wasn't late. It was right on time. And God provided. God provided for him. Some of you today, listen, some of you today, your head's on a swivel right now. Let's just be honest. Your head's on a swivel, and you think, you're saying to yourself, I know God's going to provide. Okay, I believe that. Okay, God, you hear me? I'm saying I believe you're going to provide. I sang about it. I told Sister So-and-so the other day, God's going to provide for me. I told my wife the other day, God's going to provide for us, baby. He's going to provide. He's going to provide. We'll say that, but then you might not know where to look to see where the provision is going to come from. You're looking everywhere like, where's it going to come? How are you going to do this, God? How are you going to provide for me? And I want to show you today, I want to show you where to look. Those are places you can look for God's provision. The title of this message is, God Will Always Provide. And I want to share with you four ways that God's going to provide, okay? So if you would stand in the honor of reading God's word, we're going to start in Genesis 45. This is not the story of Abraham, by the way. It's a different story. But we're going to ask the Lord to show us how he provides through this passage. If you'll pray with me, asking the Holy Spirit to come and be with us. Lord, I need your help right now, and I surrender to you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would remove any distractions for me, clarify my thoughts now. Holy Spirit, would you have your way? And we need you to speak to us. Speak to us, Lord. Reveal yourself through your word so that we can understand it and apply it. And we'll be careful to praise you, God, and walk out of here different. Have your way in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Genesis 45, remain standing. We're going to go verses 5 through 8 and then verse 11. Now, this is the story, by the way, of Joseph. His brothers now have come to him, and Joseph is in Egypt in his second-in-command position, and they come to him, and he's just revealed himself to his brothers there in the courts, okay? And he says, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt, verse 5, but don't be upset, and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your life. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last for 5 more years, and there will neither be plowing nor harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. And we're going to play in that in a minute. And he is the one who made me an advisor. See, God saw, God provided. An advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace and the governor of all Egypt. Now, jump down to verse 11. Here it is. And Joseph tells his brothers, he said, I will take care of you there, for there are still 5 years of famine ahead of us. Otherwise, you, your household, and all of your animals will starve. God bless the reading of his word. May be seated for just a minute. If you're taking notes, here it is. There's multiple ways that God will provide. I want to provide four of them for you today. Number one is God will provide through the hands of man. God will provide through the hands of man. Now, Joseph had gone through some crazy difficult times, if you remember the story. And it was his family, his own brothers, his own family, because of jealousy that they had they were the ones who hurt him. And I want you just to know, listen to me, hurting people hurt people, whether you intend to or not. If you're dealing with church hurt today, guess what? We've all, if we've spent any time in the church, if you've spent any time at all, hurting people come to church, right? Hurting people hurt people. In a family, hurting family members hurt family. Everybody in this room, have you been hurt? Yes, every single person. We all deal with it. Joseph, it was his own brothers that hurt him deeply. Have any of you ever been hurt by your family member? Sure, of course. They threw him in a pit and they left him to die. I don't know if anybody's experienced that. So they sold his birthright, by the way, and into slavery. They put him into slavery. His own brothers sold him into slavery. And Joseph worked his way out of that. And then he was wrongly accused. And then he was placed in prison. And he was there for 13 years in prison. And he had to work his way through that. Now, Joseph here looks at his brothers. Here they've come now because there's famine in the land. They've come to Egypt. They don't know Joseph's there. They walk in. They don't even recognize him. And Joseph looks at his brothers and he says to them, guys, it's me, by the way. And then they have this little cry fest, this little cry moment. Yes, it's me. Don't cry, he says. And then he looks at them and he says, what you meant for evil, what you intended for evil to me, God meant for my good. And even though he says, I'm not bitter at you, I'm not angry, I'm not offended at you, but I see how God used what you put me through for my good. I see what he did for me. And if it were not for what you did to me, I wouldn't be where I am today. God provided for Joseph through his brothers. You see that? Through the hand of his brothers. How did God provide for Joseph? What was Joseph experiencing? Take a look at it for a second. Joseph was a Jew, by the way, Jewish descent. Now he was serving as the right-hand man of the king of Egypt, the most powerful man in the world at that time. King of Egypt was, in the known world. He was the most powerful, richest man. By historical counts, by the way, the king of Egypt, he was the wealthiest. He owned the most land of any king, and he had the biggest army of any nation. Egypt was a big deal. Joseph, here he was, of lowly descent in comparison, here he was, second, he found himself second in command. And the king gave all the reins of the kingdom over to Joseph, everything. He gave him control and reign of everything. Joseph was running the kingdom for Pharaoh. Joseph controlled the purse strings, and it was he was the means of prosperity to Egypt. By the hand of Joseph came prosperity, the economic prosperity. Decisions were made. If it was going to happen, it came through the hand of Joseph. If they wanted gas prices to be lower, Joseph had to do it. You get what I'm saying. Now, that's how God provided for Joseph. And Joseph looks at his brothers who had done wrong to him and said, don't be afraid. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm going to help you because I'm on this side of God's blessing. I'm on this side of God's provision. I cried. I had abandonment issues. I'm sure he did. I'm sure Joseph dealt with the same things that we deal with. He wasn't a superhuman by any means. I dealt with my abandonment issues. I was wrongly accused, put in prison for 13 years. I went through so many bad things because of you, but I came out of it without a bitter spirit. And through it all, I am living in the blessings of God. How many of you can say that in the hurt that you've been through in your life? Praise God. Praise God. And then Joseph looks at his brothers and says this in verse 5, Genesis 45, 5. He says, don't be upset. Don't be angry with yourself for selling me this place. Look at this. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your life. And verse 8 says, so it was God who sent me here, not you. Now, it was through the hands of his brothers. Technically, they're the ones who sent him there. But Joseph recognized that the blessing and provision of what he was experiencing said, no, no, boys, you might think you did that, but you didn't really do it. God did it and blessed my life through what you tried to do to me. God provided for me through you for his purpose and for his glory. The God strategically positioned Joseph. And he says, now go back. Joseph tells him this. Go back, get the family, bring them back here. I'm going to give them a house. I'm going to give them some land on this little nice suburban little area right out here outside the outskirts here in Goshen. I'm going to give that to them. And I'm going to give them jobs. And we're going to wait out the famine together. That's what he tells them. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of family. See, God will use the hands of men to bless you. That's why he says in Luke 6, he says this, Luke 6, 38, give and it will be given you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over with no space left for more. For with the standard of measurement you use, when you do good to others, it will be measured to you in return. Do you see that exchange of blessing from one man's hand to the other? And see, a lot of times this scripture is taken out of context, but it is talking about how we bless others with our words and our actions. Those words will be, by the way, will be. It will be given to you. It will be. Did you know that those words will be? When God says it, that's a promise. That's a promise. It will be given to you. That's a promise. God says, I will cause men to give to you. The way you measure provision for them will be the same measure that we'll use to provide for you through their hand. All right, now, we can buy that. Okay, Pastor, I can get on board with that. God will use the hands of men to provide for me. But here's a little thought, though. Don't get so self-righteously conditioned and decide from whose hand you'll allow God to provide for you. Well, what do you mean? Well, do you remember the story of Elijah and that God told him to go down to the river, go down and camp out there, and he sent a raven to feed him? Do you remember that story? The guy sent him down there, so he's camping out there, and he sent, God sent a raven. Now, I want you to think about it for a second. Now, by nature, ravens don't deliver food. They eat it. They don't deliver food. And according to the law, by the way, a raven was an unclean animal. It was a dirty bird. The raven was a dirty bird. So God changed the nature of a dirty bird to bring a prophet a piece of meat and some bread two times a day for 3.5 years. Now listen to me. God wants to use people to provide for you and to bless you. So when God starts to use people in your life, don't get too picky or too fussy about who he chooses to use to provide for you. And I'm going to tell you, he might use some dirty birds to supply your needs according to his purpose and for his glory. And as I've looked back over my life, it is true. God has used the hands of some dirty men to position me and to provide a way for me. And I've had to come to know that through the help of the Holy Spirit. There may be someone watching you right now that has the means to greatly meet your needs. There may be someone that's watching this church from a distance. You never know. You never know. And they know that they know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that goes here, and they have resources, and God may just tap them on the shoulder and say, provide for that church. Just provide. Provide for that person. Provide here. People periodically ask me, they're like, hey, Pastor, do you know of anybody that needs financially? Or this person here, I kind of noticed them. They need some help anyway. If they need it, let me know. You know what my answer to that is? I used to say, yeah, I'll let you know if I hear of anything or if I hear something specific. Now my answer is, listen, don't wait to be asked. If the Lord puts somebody on your heart and you see somebody that's in need, bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Do that. Bless that person. God will use the hands of men to bless. God's going to put people in your life at just the right time to bless you and provide for you. When God blessed Jacob in Genesis, he gave him power from God and favor with men. In Luke 2:52, it says Jesus grew in favor and wisdom with both God and with man. And the same God that takes three loaves and two fish and multiplies it and breaks it and says, I'll make it exceedingly above all you could ever ask or think, that's the God you serve. And God says, I'm going to use men to bless you, to provide for you. They're going to give you jobs. They'll open doors for you that you couldn't open, that no one can shut. They'll notice. They'll see. They'll invest in your life. God knows how to cause men to provide for you for his glory. Here's number two. God will provide through the hand of God. God will provide through the hand of God. Now, you might think, well, that's a given, Pastor. Very good. And it might be for some of you, but for some, it might not be the go-to. He will provide for you for physical, in the physical, through the hands of men, yes, but he'll also provide supernaturally by his hand. And I want you to hear me say this, and it's so important because we'll forget it and we don't mean to. But the supernatural hand of God is the source of all your provision. There's a difference between system and source. Now, those are manufacturing terms, systems and sources. There is the source of a product, the source. And then there's a system that manages it, packs it, distributes it. Okay, there's a source and then a system around the source. One of our tendencies, our proclivity of the flesh nature, is when we're provided for by God through men, is that we tend to look to that as our source. And God gets really picky about that. He gets real picky when we start to do that. Okay, the people God uses to bless you, your career or your business, I want you to hear me, that's the system. But God is the source of the blessing. You following me? Okay, and we cannot get that in reverse. The brook, all right, now this is interesting. The brook and the dirty bird for Elijah. Let's just take that story. The brook and the dirty bird, that was the system that God used. But God was Elijah's source. And if you read the story, you'll know that after 3.5 years, what happened to the brook? It dried up. What happened to the raven? stopped. Stopped delivering. See, God sent Elijah to that brook. Elijah was doing what God had told him to do. He was in the will of God when he went to that brook. 3.5 years, God provided at the brook with the raven. 3.5 years, what he needed. And then the brook dried up. Have you ever been there when you felt like you were in the center of God's will and you were doing what he told you to do and he was providing for you, and then all of a sudden, nothing. The well dries up and you're like, I'm doing what you told me to do, God. What are you talking about? Where's the provision now? Where is it? See, he wanted Elijah to know that the brook was not his source. The raven was not his source. God was his source. He was the source. God's supernatural provision with him as the source is not seen any clearer in Scripture, in my mind, than in Exodus 16:4. Look at this. He says, then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Talk about a supernatural act of God. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day, and I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. Now, if you keep reading in this story, you're going to see where God gave one piece of manna for some households, he gave 3 pieces of manna for another, and then 6 for another household. Now, this was supernatural provision. So this is from the hand of God directly. So he wasn't going, there wasn't a man to go through to get that wrong. This is supernatural. And the amount of provision was determined by God, but it was different for different people. All right, you know why? It was because God provided according to the size of the tent. According to the size of the need. The people with 3 loaves and 6 loaves had more people in their tent than the people who got 1. Now, God won't provide you with 6 loaves right now if your current assignment is just 1 loaf. You understand what I'm saying? And see, we'll get sideways. I've gotten a little sideways on this one. When I've seen others get 6 loaves, and I don't think in my mind they've done any more than I've done for the kingdom. They're not living any more righteous than I am. You know what I'm saying? And you'll look around and you'll say, okay, now that church over there is growing. They got people. They're turning people away. And here we are preaching the truth of the Word of God, and we'd like those people. You know, I'm just being honest with you. And I've done that in my life. I'm like, Lord, we're doing what you told us to do. A little bit, a little extra at the end of the month would be great. Be great. And I get a little sideways sometimes when I see. That's hard. That's hard. But praise God, God will not always give us what we ask for. He gives us what he knows we can manage. If God would have given me everything that I wanted him to give me at different seasons of my life, I would have been a poor steward of it. I just didn't know that. I would have been a poor steward of it then. I would have been ready for it. And I had to get to a place where I'd humble myself enough to come to an agreement with God over his choice of provision for my life. See, if you're in a place today like I have been and you feel like you need more provision from God but you're not in that season, okay, here's my question. And I had to answer this for myself. Daniel, can you be thankful for where you are and begin to praise God for what he's given you already? Because I'll tell you this, and it's everybody's testimony in this room, God has always provided for you. Has he not? And if you're honest with yourself, there is not one person in here that has another testimony if you're a believer. God has always, always provided for you. He's always provided for me. He's got more, and he'll bless you when he's ready for his glory and for his purpose. See. Here's third. God will bless you by your own hand. He will bless and provide for you by your own hand. Okay? Now, that this provision has a name. It's called a job. It's called a job. God will provide for you through you and the work of your own hands and the skills and the giftings that he's given you. He will. Psalm 128:2 says, "You shall eat of the fruit of the labor of your hands, and you shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you." Ecclesiastes 5:18 says, "Even so, I've noticed one thing at least that is good. It is good for people to eat, drink, and enjoy their work under the sun during the short life God has given them, and to accept their lot in life. And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it, to enjoy your work and accept your lot in life. This is indeed a gift from God. God keeps such people so busy enjoying life that they take no time to brood over the past. God will provide for you through other people. God will provide supernaturally for you, but God does not want you to be constantly in beg mode. Now, he wants us to constantly be in dependence mode. But, as the old saying around cultivate goes, God has a part and we have a part. Yeah. And he will provide through the work of our own hands. Now, I want to remind you again, and we can get real sideways about this. That's why I'm reminding you again about source and systems. Your job and your ability to do your job is the system. God is the source. See, because we can easily think, well, I'm good at what I do and I make a good living for myself. I'm providing for my family. And we'll say, we'll hear those things. We'll say it. We all know what each other means when we say that. But God provides for your family through the work of your hand and the gifts that he's given you. My prayer for you is whatever the season of work that you're in, and some of you may be in a career season. Some of you may work from home. You follow me? Even those who work from home, if there's one person that goes out and earns a paycheck, there's still resources being garnered by the person who works at home, provisions being made always, equally. And so whatever season you're in, my prayer for you and for Cultivate Church is that God would multiply the work of your hand and that you'd be blessed by your work. Here's number four, and this is going to be an interesting one. God will provide through the hand of the enemy. Now, when Joshua and Caleb came back from spying into the promised land. So here, Israel was on this side of the river. They sent in the spies, the 10 spies, you know the story. Some came back and they're like, nope, can't take it, giants. They'll get us. Joshua and Caleb said, nope, we can take them. We can take them. Numbers 14:9 says this. It says, and this is them, Joshua and Caleb, do not rebel against the Lord, he was telling them, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. And look at this. And then they say, they are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. And them, by the way, were the giants, the enemy. The giants. And And so here they were now, these giants in the land, and the Israelites, they were freaked out about it. And they said, no, listen, these people are our prey. That's our provision. That's our next meal. And how in the world is it that them facing their enemy was a provision from God? How in the world, when we face our enemy, our giant, how in the world is that a provision from God? Don't you know? Do you remember that God spreads out his table of bounty and blessing for you right in front of your enemy? Psalm 23 says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoints my head with oil, and my cup runs over right there." When you're surrounded by enemy attack, listen to me. When you're surrounded by enemy attack, you're surrounded by giants. Just know that God is setting up a banquet table of provision for you. And here's what I've learned over the years. The level of attack, the bigger the giant in your life, will tell you two things. It can tell you more, but two things I'm sharing with you today. Number one, it can tell you about how valuable you are to God's assignment that he's put you on. If you're going through a huge attack, you can guarantee it's because you've been given a huge assignment. The other thing that I've learned that it can say, the level of your attack, the enemy, the giants in your life, will be an indicator to the level of blessing that's waiting for you on the other side of that attack. Listen to me, whatever wilderness you're going through, whatever challenges you're facing, whatever giants are in your land, and everybody faces giants, everybody has them, there are voices that are rattling around in your head screaming, you can't do it, you need to give up, you're not good enough, you're not strong enough. I want you to hear me right now tell you, I have never met anyone that has done something significant for the kingdom of God, and you will never read about anyone in Scripture that God has used in significant ways that has not gotten to a place where they've had to face giants, go through the fire, walk through the flood, up to their nostrils. They've been there. They've been in the trenches. They've been imprisoned. And through life circumstances, the enemy almost took them out. And I said almost. But if they held on, God brought them through the fire. He pushed them through the flood, and he carried them out of the trench and brought them to the other side. Is there anybody here that has just been through it and you've come out on the other side and you can say, yes, God is my provider? Young people, if you consider yourself a young person, at heart, that's fine. This is for you. There are a lot of people doing things for you right now. A lot of your blessing, young people, a lot of your blessings are God's provision through the hands of man. But there's coming a day, and those of you that've got some years on you, you know what I'm about to say. There's coming a day when you get ready to step over into God's purpose for your life. And there are going to be giants that come against you. Just know, God will show up. He will take you through. All you've got to do is trust God, stand firm in your faith, hold tight, and don't let go. And you need to know this, and there's some adult that might need to know this too, that is the process. You cannot short circuit the process. The process is you have to go through it. You have to face the giants. You have to hold on. You have to allow God to provide for you in that way. That is life. And on the other side of enemy attack, You're going to sit down at a provisional meal that God has spread before you in the presence of your enemies. Yes, hallelujah is right. Hallelujah is right. It's right. Don't ever underestimate how God will provide for you. He will provide for you because He's the God who sees. He's Jehovah Jireh. He makes a way through the hands of men, supernaturally through His own hands, through your enemies. He is your God.